Hey guys, Jacob here, and welcome to the new episode of Automated Seller Podcast. Today I have a new special guest, William, a co-founder of Go Consulting, which is the consulting consulting firm and Amazon agency. Hi, William. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Sure, William. I would say we can start very simple with the introduction, as usually I do on my episodes. So, William, could you introduce yourself and Go Consulting to the audience? But very short, we'll go into the details later.
Yeah, Go Consulting handles basically everything from A to Z. The only service we do not provide is physically touching any product. And we work with brands and manufacturers to help them best run their Amazon account and make sure they stay on top of things.
Mm-hmm. And how long are you doing this?
We're coming up on our 8th year right now. So in Amazon terms, that's like a century.
Oh yeah, Amazon has changed over the last 8 years. That's crazy. And how big is your team?
There's 10 of us total full time, and then we have a couple interns.
Got it. Awesome. Then let's jump maybe about your history. I mean, 8 years is overall the history, but I want to go a little bit even before that, right? So what did you do before that? Like, how did you get into Amazon e-commerce marketplaces? What's your story?
Yeah, I'll start from the very beginning. So around like 2006, I was 16 years old, like looking over my brother's shoulder, who he was buying stuff from Alibaba at the time. And reselling it on eBay, actually. Excuse me. And from there, I kind of just always wanted to do what my older brother was doing. So I'm sitting there at 16 looking at products on Alibaba, looking for stuff that doesn't have a lot of electronics, not a lot of moving parts, has a big markup. Basically all the stuff that like they teach you in the private label courses. But I was doing it as a 16-year-old, just kind of interested. From there, I kind of stayed interested and throughout college was buying some stuff from Alibaba and flipping it on different marketplaces and such. And when I graduated college in 2013, I started actually working with my brother out of my family's 80-year-old manufacturing business in Minnesota. And we noticed that there was catalogs and catalogs of different kind of B2B business parts for different heating and ventilation equipment or plumbing equipment or radon mitigation system and who knows what. And a lot of these products were being sold on Amazon, but they weren't Prime and the buy box was very kind of convoluted. And so we came up with the idea of just ordering from these generic catalogs since we had access to them and actually sending these products into Amazon so that the product would be Prime and we'd win the buy box. And from mm-hmm. there, we've noticed even just such things as a product that sells one time a day, sells 10 times a day if it's Prime instead of merchant fulfilled. And so mm-hmm. our sales blew up. We were able to do millions of dollars of sales our first year. And then from there, started getting featured on Amazon podcasts, Amazon conferences, and companies started saying, cool story. It sounds a lot like the situation we're in. How can you do that for us? And so that's how Goat Consulting started a little under 8 years ago, is that we kind of, my brother still runs the kind of family business to this day, and it does tons of sales, does like $5 million some months. So it's a big vendor central account now with multiple warehouses. And then I do Goat Consulting full time, helping other brands and managing their accounts on Amazon and kind of helping them get into the 21st century.
That's awesome. That's awesome, William. It's also a very nice story that you actually started learn also on your own, probably did a lot of mistakes in the journey, right? And then once people saw your success on Amazon, they simply started to reach out so you could help them run their accounts as well. So that's amazing. I actually wanted to ask you also about You mentioned that you graduated college degree. You got a college degree, right? But what was the degree actually?
My like, degree was in economics, and I went to economics. Like just kind of a generic state school.
But did it actually help you? I'm really always asking founders about that.
It's really hard for me to tell, honestly, if it's a chicken and because it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. I always thought economics was really easy because that's just how my brain works in general. And so I majored in economics because it was the easiest thing for me to major in since I was coming into college with already credits from like passing AP micro and macroeconomics. And so like I already was kind of an economic minded person, and then I go and take more classes about economics. And so then you say, does your economic training bleed into your business ever? And it's kind of just like one fluid thing. Who knows which piece led to what, but it's all kind of one thing of how I guess my brain works in general.
Got it. And pretty much we kind of started the topic that I want to ask you about, which is the client acquisition and your consulting business. So you, yeah, obviously in the beginning, since you had a success, people reach out to you because you that was like literally a case study for them. So they trust, they saw the trust, they went and worked with you. So definitely like word of mouth is probably your client acquisition strategy even till today, right? But what are the other client acquisition strategies for your Amazon company?
Yeah, I would say almost word of mouth is why most Amazon agencies don't work. Is that people, what happens a lot of times is some private labeler or some Amazon expert gets some sort of press. They get word of mouth from two, three clients who say, "Hey, I love your story. I want you to do what you did for us." And so they go, "Oh, I'm gonna start an Amazon agency." And then I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who have a quote unquote Amazon agency. And then it's like getting that third or fourth client is just like impossible. Like they can get those first couple ones that someone heard from them from somewhere, but to kind of scale beyond that and get beyond that tends to be tough. From
Because
my point
if
of
you're just
view.
running like free, it's more like freelancing business, right? I don't like that so many people in this industry call themselves that they have agencies, but they don't have anyone even full time, right? Those are more like
Yeah,
freelancers.
exactly. And the difference between a freelancer and like an entrepreneur is the freelancer, if they get hit by a bus, their business is over. With an entrepreneur, their
That's true.
business is still moving forward if they get hit by a bus. Yeah, so we from the very beginning not only were able to get a couple clients right away from word of mouth, but then from there it was making sure that we kind of stayed on top of it. And so it was me going on more podcasts, me going to more conferences to kind of keep the word of mouth going. But at the same time, we write a lot of blog posts. And so nowadays, for the last probably 5 or so years, 6 years, about 80% of our clients just come through organic SEO of our blog posts.
Oh,
Is
wow.
that we write blog posts that are helpful about very specific issues that people would have if they are actually serious about Amazon. And then from there, it is just being helpful enough that they fill out the contact form and hopefully turn them into a client. The amount of people focusing on blog posts like PPC trends and those types of things are trying to kind of go viral because they figured out some new hack. Then you get clients who always want you to come up with some new hack and always want you to like it just you're coming up with a client who thinks they're probably even smarter than you and is always trying to tell you how to do your job because they're an Amazon expert too. And it's like this kind of weird, it's the same reason why I was kind of mentioning earlier, I don't really go to Amazon conferences anymore. So if there's 2,000 people in a room and I'm the 40th smartest Amazon person, like what benefit is that to me? Where if I go to a lawn and garden show or a home goods store and I'm the smartest Amazon person there, then I'm the belle of the ball. And
Got it.
so it's just one of the reasons why the Amazon conferences too, everyone trying to eke out that last little like 0.1% from each other and kind of figure out these little hacks. It seems like there is a lot easier ways to grow your business, like just like launching new SKUs.
So you said about a lot of very important topics right now. I kind of have a few follow-up questions to a few of them, right? So maybe let's start first with those Amazon experts and like no, actually your blog post, because this is something that it feels very familiar to what we do, but we actually don't do it through the Google SEO, but through YouTube SEO, right? Like we actually record a lot of technical YouTube videos about the Amazon Selling Partner API. We solved a lot of issues that people or developers or little bit technical people had, but they couldn't finish them, so they reach out to us, right? So we didn't really went and did viral things. Like there's a lot of videos, for example, about using AI and to like optimize the listings and so on, maybe integrate ChatGPT with Amazon. We didn't do that. We actually did the boring stuff. So we literally recorded tutorials on how to authenticate with the selling partner API, right? And then that's how we actually got our name there and clients. So I really like your strategy there because that's awesome, right? You write quality content and solve real issues, and that's how people got trust in you, and then they want to work together. And you have this kind of that like the sales engine, right? Like a marketing and sales engine. So as you said, if something happens to you, the business still runs and you can still get new clients. So I really love it. Now I also wanted to talk about those Amazon conferences. Maybe the first thing is I'll do a follow-up question. Do you think that the Amazon agency, like a business model, is it oversaturated right now?
I wouldn't say it's oversaturated just because, again, like, I guess I don't really think of people doing stuff kind of the way we do it. And so there isn't a lot of people like that. The Amazon agencies team seem to be like an ex-private labeler who is trying to just make some extra cash since Amazon is not a cash generating activity. If you sell on Amazon, it actually takes cash. And so they need to have some sort of way to supplement themselves. And so there's like them, who is like not really a competitor to us because we work with kind of more established businesses who wouldn't probably work with a person like them. And then there's kind of like a tier above us that are located on the coast. They try to increase your sales by using AI software that they've written themselves. They charge a percentage of sales and a percentage of ad spend, and they're really like performance based. And they also do Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising, and they're these giant kind of conglomerate advertising agencies. And it tends that we just have a lot more just like blue collar know-how and have actually like done all these things and solved all these cases where they can do big presentations in suits on the coast, but it's like they don't know how to actually optimize stacking a pallet so that you pay less fees, and like stuff like that. They wouldn't be able to get into that. And so yeah, it's with all the AI stuff and that, it's kind of off topic, but it kind of goes back to what you were saying about kind of where we try to zig where everyone else is zags, is that with like the AI YouTube content or blog posts on how to get that extra 0.1% of sales out there, it seems like it's created for a lot of private labelers out there who started an Amazon business and they just really want to grind. And fortunately and unfortunately, Amazon like does everything for you. And so there's like nothing for you to, like, you go in there, you're like, I want to put in a good 12-hour day. And then you go into your Seller Central backend and there's just nothing to be done. Like, you optimize ads for a little bit, but you got one SKU, and it's like, okay, so like that campaign's good. And it's like, well, what else is there to do? And so, like, you want to think that there's like some unlock you can get, that there's more research you can do than anyone else. You want to think there's something you can do, but really, it's just like either launch on a different marketplace, launch a new SKU if you have the cash for it, or like just keep building your business. But that's why we kind of stay clear of that, again, that type of clientele and the people who go to Amazon conferences, since most of our kind of clientele would never go to an Amazon conference.
And funny thing about those conferences, like specifically the Amazon ones, right? Is that most of the people that are there are not sellers, but service providers. And I remember last year I've been to actually three conferences in the US, but like a lot of in Europe. And I remember there was like this networking party. I think it was the one in Seattle, organized by Amazon. Was it Accelerate or Innovate? I always kind of
Unboxed or
confuse it.
whatever.
No, Unbox was for agencies in New York, but anyway, that was probably Accelerate. But anyway, I was on this networking party. There was like a small group of people. Then the new and like usually I'm very chilled on those networking parties, right? I don't want to sell anything because the more you try to sell, that's in the end the worse it works. And I remember this person comes to me and immediately asks the question, "Hey, are you Amazon seller?" I said, not really know why. And then like she just left because she actually was running the Amazon agency, and she was just interested in talking to sellers, right? And I was like, that's rude, right? But that's
No.
how it is right now on those Amazon conferences, so
I enjoy the conferences that Amazon probably run the most. The other third-party conferences, they get a little bit more kind of boring or too into the weeds sometimes. But yeah, no, I would say that I enjoy the seeing the people who I know over and over again at the conferences.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably like the best part about the actual conferences. But
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It's great to reconnect with people.
I would say the conference is more oversaturated than the agency industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Probably. And then, like, I know some of the companies, they're spending hundreds of thousands for like marketing on those booths, like in some of the most popular conferences, right? So it's also hard to compete with some of those backed by VCs with like $100 million funding, for example. Like, I know some of those, but I'm talking more about those actually software companies than agencies, right? But like, but still, in my case, when I'm where I'm running the software agency. It's hard to compete with those, but anyway, let's jump to next question. Actually, we've talked with about the agencies, so but I'll maybe follow up. Right, you already started talking. So the question is basically, how do you stand out running your business, right, and differentiate yourself from other agencies? You already started saying, right, that you just run your business. You don't do like a crazy fancy stuff and promises that you cannot deliver, right? But maybe you have something else, William.
Yeah, so a lot of the companies we work with, they have been having their products sold on Amazon for the last 20 years, just not by them. Mm-hmm. And they're just deciding now to say, hey, I want to figure out who the resellers are, send them nice letters saying you can't resell anymore, because most likely they're actually some sort of distributor that they've had a relationship with for decades, and their dad knew their dad and all that type of stuff. And so you gotta kind of be nice there and make sure that you're respectful ending those relationships, and then going through and figuring out all the different listings out there that may exist, since people and resellers in the past may have just launched it under a different UPC code because they didn't want to compete for the buy box, or they created a bundle that doesn't really exist in the manufacturer because they didn't want to compete for the buy box. And so it's like finding all those like mysterious listings out there and combining them into the correct listing. And then once you actually have like a catalog that's actually accurate, then you can actually get into like the keyword optimization and PPC and that type of stuff. But that kind of first step there of actually organizing the catalog and actually going through all that casework and working with Amazon to make sure that everything is right is the kind of work that I feel like a lot of our competitors don't want to do, since there's no way to automate it. There's no way to do it unless you just have experience and you know what the manufacturer mm-hmm. brand wants. And I think that's what really sets us apart, is that we can really kind of work with them on that basis. And then with some of the companies we work with like an ice skate company that gets actual like reams of leather to their factory, and then they cut mm-hmm. it and sew it into an ice skate. And so for something like that, we have to be in constant communications and really know about their business holistically, because if we do run some coupon or we do figure out some advertising campaign that's 5% ACOS, we can't just increase the budget to $20,000 a day and blow it out because someone has to make those boots.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So like it's working with them to like really actually do what's actually best for your business. How much like cash do you have in hand, and how much do you want to invest on Amazon? What is your Amazon strategy for the next 5 years, 10 years, and how can we get you there? And it's really working with them holistically from like end to end, opposed to just saying, hey, we run your PPC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, I really like this approach. Do you actually also help some of your clients go beyond Amazon, like to other marketplaces, if it's aligned with this strategy? Or
so we will help with Amazon Canada and Amazon Mexico, because it's not too hard, and sometimes Amazon UK. But the way we see it is that like,
but more, I'm talking more about like other marketplaces, like I don't know, Walmart or eBay, right?
So for most of them, I think they're like a big waste of time. You can, with Walmart, with eBay, with Amazon Germany, with Amazon Spain, I see them all kind of the same, where you can add maybe 5% of your Amazon US sales and kind of bolt it on. So if you're mm-hmm. at $20, $30 million a year in scale, to add on an extra 5% actually makes sense. But if you're going to be doing a total of $75,000 a year in revenue on Walmart.com, but now you have a whole nother channel you have to manage, you got to pay us to manage it, you got to pay for the cost of goods sold and the taxes and all that, and accounting to look through the numbers, all of a sudden there's just no margin left. So like you got to kind of make sure that excuse me, that with these other marketplaces that you actually have a chance to get to a $500,000 sales in Germany or $1 million sales in Germany, where it actually makes sense to like 20% of that's gone immediately through VAT. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like you start adding all that stuff up and you go, wow, like we did pretty good in Germany this year and we made a grand total of $12,000 at the end of the day on $1 million sales. And it's like, man, I wish we were just like spent that time and money on like Amazon US launching a new SKU and doing more marketing. And so it's kind of just go where the customers are.
Got it, got it. No, that's a very interesting thing that you actually mentioned, because a lot of people that I interview, that they are actually rather saying the other way around. Maybe it is because they want to just, talk here that they can deliver everything if someone perhaps is listening. But I really
That's
admire
the
the full transparency here, right? That it's just not worth the hassle, because in the end, what a lot of people forget is the profit that counts, right? Not the revenue, not the hassle that you spend. It's actually what's left.
Well, and just the idea too, like you're saying, trust me, if we could get bolt on an extra 20, 30% revenue for each marketplace we added, or they maybe are just as big as Amazon, and my clients will pay me again to do the same work over again, I would love that. But we've done it too many times where it's like, hey guys, you launched us in Canada, our sunscreen oil in Canada. And it's been a year. We've done $20,000 in sales, but we've paid you guys $40,000 and we've spent $20,000 in advertising. This is a terrible idea. Why did you tell us that Canada was okay? And then we go, wow, okay, well, never suggest Canada again.
I see that. Now, William, speaking of your clients and actually delivering results and so on, I have a few questions about it, but first, is actually about the software. If you could maybe tell a little bit of the Since the podcast is obviously called Automated Seller Podcast, I like to talk about tech as well. So the question is about the software that you're using at your company, right? It's not only about running the Amazon business, but overall, even from like operations. I don't know if you like use ClickUp or Notion or something for task management. Then obviously for managing the Amazon, like do you use some AI tools to optimize the campaigns? Then for reporting, what do you use to show the results to your clients? I'm very curious. Or of course, if it's secret, you don't have to share, but
No, I got no secrets. First and foremost, we just use like G Suite for like Google Drive and stuff like that for the day-to-day stuff. Everyone talks in Slack. We don't really send emails at all internally between like employees. So like anytime like me or my business partner get an email from one of our employees, it's almost always like some sort of like phishing scam. So like
We got
that's
those too.
Yeah, so that's pretty easy. We use Trello for doing the case management and doing kind of day-to-day operations. But for the most part, we don't do internal meetings either. So just everything's on Slack, everything's always written down, everything's kind of asynchronous. And then from there, from like the Amazon software point of view, we used to have a subscription to basically like every software. Because like why not? Because like at one point they're all like $40 a month or something like that. And so like it actually made sense. And then we went from that to now then they like introduced like an agency model version of their software in the last few years. And then all the agency versions are just like 10 times more expensive, but
Oh
with the
yeah.
same features.
Plus the
And
percentage, right?
yeah, exactly. And then we always tell them that we just can't sign up for that because like then we have to pass a percentage of sales onto our clients. And then our clients are gonna say, well, if my sales gonna go up at least 1% because you use the software. And it's like, I don't want to defend this software company, I don't even know them. So we kind of scaled back some of our software to what actually worked and what we needed the most. And luckily at the same time, Amazon's like data and software has just been amazing. Like I feel like in the last 2 years, the amount of stuff you can do in like Amazon ads and the amount of stuff you can do in Seller Central backend without third-party software that you used to have third-party software for is amazing. And so I guess the biggest thing that we use that's like outside the box of most Amazon agencies, but it's not really a software, is that we do use Amazon's Mechanical Turk a decent amount. and do surveys with Amazon customers, asking questions like, what would you search to find this product? What would you tell your friend this product's called? You know, what comes included with this product? Do you know how to assemble this product? What photo do you like the most? So that we just get kind of this more interesting data that if every single person's using Jungle Scout, then everyone's going to draw the same conclusion. If everyone's using Celex, everyone's going to draw the same conclusion. So again, like how can we zig where everyone else is zags? And like, let's get some like actual humans to tell us what they think about some of these things.
Yeah. I really like it, actually. So my business is obviously about building software, but we build custom software tailored for the needs of businesses. And one of the very common reasons why agencies, let's speak about agency, but we also serve sellers and vendors and a lot of different kind of businesses, but let's talk about agencies that, hey, we are using the same software as our competitors, then like we are no different. We can't do different strategies, right? So we have some of the agencies that they just develop their own tools with us from scratch just for their internal use because they have like very, very unique strategies. So I don't know if you ever actually built something or wanted to build. I'm very curious. What's your opinion?
Yeah, so we attempted, we got an intern like way back when in the very beginning. We're just kind of like play around with the API and see what we can pull and see what data we wanted and all that type of stuff. But again, for a while there, all the Amazon software was like $40 a month. And so it's like for me to make it, and like my Jungle Scout, I bought it back in like 2013. It was $100 one-time fee.
Wow,
and so like I'm
really
still using that Jungle Scout.
Oh yeah, because that was no time for SaaS and subscription models, right? I remember that those were good days. Like I remember I could have like a Photoshop, also not for monthly basis, or like Microsoft products like PowerPoint and so on. You just bought it once, that's it, right? And now everything is for subscription.
So yeah, for me to try to like reverse engineer and do a better Jungle Scout for under $100, it's just like nearly impossible, right? So like the buy versus build is like not even doesn't even make sense. And so, yeah, that's why we have never really gone down the software route. The main reason why I would go down the software route as an agency is just from a valuation point of view, is that from everyone I've talked to, agencies get like 3x profit or 1x revenue as if you try to sell your agency. But if you can sprinkle some software on there and say you're the software enabled agency, you might be able to get like twice the valuation. And so like that would be the main reason why I would assume most agencies try to go down like the custom software route, because for someone like me who's been in the industry almost like a decade, I just haven't found, there's so much Amazon software out there, I haven't found some specific problem that I know everyone has that software hasn't solved yet.
Yeah, totally. Got it. But yeah, speaking of the evaluation, that's actually also the reason, right? Because building the like a software for themselves is basically having the company asset, which is, and now you're not the consulting firm like the agency, you're a software company, right? So that's also like a pretty common reason why companies want to do that.
A company that does $2 million revenue is worth $40 million. An Amazon agency that does $2 million revenue is worth $2 million.
It's because it's just a team behind it, right? So
yeah, it's a team behind it regardless in my head, but whatever.
Yeah, totally. William, let's talk about some of the case studies. Maybe let's pick your most successful, or maybe not most successful, but like the craziest success story that you have. Maybe something that you, I don't know, the brand was dying and then you just took a work and like put it, like turned around things, and then now it's making millions or something like this. I want to hear a case study from your work that it's worth sharing.
Yeah, I have one where we were working with a company in the kind of fragrances category. And this is our classic thing of just like no other agency would want to touch this, but we had no problem solving it for them because they were a long-term client. We need to get it done. They had 1,200 different SKUs. And they discovered one day that
for the agency client.
Yeah, it's like a decent amount. We work that again. We work with these established businesses who like usually do have a decent amount of SKUs, right? But so they had 1,200 SKUs that their person on their end, when they were creating the listings before they signed on with us, would for the UPC number just type in random numbers till it worked each time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to go through 1,200 listings and change the UPC number, which if you have any experience with that, it's not a go in there, edit it, and then click save. It's a like full case you have to go through, and it's one of the hardest things to change within Amazon. And so like that's a success story of us having to actually like, how are we gonna organize this? What are we gonna start with first? How is our case gonna go? Who can we get in contact with Amazon? Can we do 100 of these at a time? Or is Amazon only gonna be able to do 50 at a time and do this properly? How are we gonna double check that it's working? How are we gonna communicate this to the client? And it becomes this whole entire like beast of its own when it's just one little problem within one of our whatever 35 different clients' accounts.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy. That was the actual work
Well,
to
exactly. And so it's like we definitely earned our money.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now, William, since you have such so much experience now running your consulting business, I would love to hear some of the advice that you could give to young entrepreneur, someone who perhaps is already doing very well on Amazon and wants to start like a Amazon agency. What are your good tips for such a person?
Yeah, I think though I've heard someone explain it that you're everything to everyone in the beginning, since you don't even know what the clients want and the clients don't know what they want, and so you just try to be helpful. And then you're everything to someone eventually, where you find some clients who you do like working with, but you still kind of have to do everything for them. And then eventually the third phase is like you're something to someone. And it's like then you've like finally figured out, okay, I have this specific offering to this specific type of client. How do I find more of these clients? And how do I make these types of clients' lives happier so they like me more? And so that's just kind of just like an organic journey that you just kind of have to kind of do on yourself. And for us, I would say it took us a solid like 2 years of us until we're like, okay, here's what our actual business does. Here's exactly the services we provide day in and day out. If clients want more services, sorry, we don't do more because that doesn't fit within our model. And that's not something you can decide kind of just day one, out of the blue because you don't know what you don't know.
So at some point you also need to start learning to say no to your clients. That's very hard skill to learn. It took us, I think, also around 2 years to first start saying no and say, okay, this is not kind of work we can do, right? But in the beginning you have no such a luxury. You kind of have to accept all kind of work if you want to survive.
Yeah, where if someone said, we'll only sign you if you run our Facebook ads and our Amazon ads in the first year, it's like, I guess we're learning how to run Facebook ads, right? And like now it's like, well, no, of course I'm not just gonna like change my business and what we've been doing for the last 8 years just for one client. Like, unless you're whatever Nike, I'm probably gonna say no Facebook ads for you.
That's actually a very funny story, but this is how our niche was created because I mean I'm running the, like a dev shop, right? And initially we're just building all kind of software we had request for, but at some point we had to pick the industry, and our third industry, because like first two kind of failed, was Amazon and then Amazon sellers, like everything around Amazon basically, because we just like funny thing is like I got this job from Upwork back then that was about MWS integration. So right now this SP API, 3 years ago that was MWS. And I recorded a YouTube video, and this YouTube video just blew up. That was about like very simple integration for Google Sheets. Like more and more sellers were asking us, "Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that?" And then me and my co-founder, we had the conversation. So, hey, this might be the actual industry that we'll be building all projects around, right? So now, when the like company from totally different like space, like I don't know, automotive, comes to us and ask us about the project, we simply say, "Hey, we can't do that," right? Because now we not only know how to code, so we are tech experts, but we have the domain knowledge, and I think it's very, very important nowadays with such an oversaturated market.
And to pay it forward of you trying to find someone who is in your position of a dev shop who does kind of everything because they're just starting out and just passing your leads down to them who are the automotive ones saying, hey, like we get plenty of inquiries because we do too, where it's to say someone says to me, hey, I just want someone to only run my ads. And we say, hey, we don't only run ads, but here at least now we have a partner who does. We can make some sort of money and be helpful.
That's true. We actually have, for example, design partners, right? Like we don't do designs on our own, we just have design partners. So when there's a bigger project, then we have design like we have partner for this, partner for that, and then we do the rest. But But yeah, awesome. William, I think that was very nice actually conversation. Thanks a lot for sharing and be very open and sharing everything. Like I really think it's great. Lastly, could you maybe tell a little bit where people can find you, contact you, or check your company?
Yeah, it's Will, W-I-L-L, at GOAT Consulting, G-O-A-T, consulting.com. GoatConsulting.com. We got plenty of blog posts. We're starting to do YouTube videos, so check us out on YouTube, subscribe, and yeah, if you have any questions, please do reach out.
Awesome. I'll make sure to include all of the details in the description of this video and podcast. So, William, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.